Welcome to the Marketing Fundamentals Podcast. Marketing has undergone major transformation in the past 20 years, but what has not changed and what will not change are the core fundamentals of marketing. Stick around and learn how to develop a strategy around the fundamentals and how to employ tactics in today's tech-focused marketing world. Welcome to another edition of the Marketing Fundamentals Podcast. Today we're going to be talking all things traffic. So things like SEO, pay-per-click, display advertising, social media advertising, all things within the first pillar, pillar one of Find Us. So we have a couple guests in studio with us today. AJ Anderson, one of our SEO gurus at Lead Plan Marketing, and Rocky Pellington, another one of our gurus. Super excited to have you guys here and put you in the hot seat. As always, Mike Hardy is in the room with us, sort of.
I'm here physically, partially, spiritually.
Thanks, John. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah,
good to have you guys. So I guess let's talk about organic search first, and let's talk about why it's important, and then we'll get into some of the fundamentals of how it all works.
First, let's define what it is. I'll play the layperson today, because a lot of times they just fire shots over the bow. I'm not really sure what's going on. So yeah, tell the audience what organic search is about.
What does SEO even stand for and mean?
SEO is search engine optimization, and that's really what we're talking about with organic is search. People are looking for something. They put a query into a search engine, almost exclusively Google. So when you talk to an SEO nerd, they always talk about Google. It's not the only thing going, but it's the biggest thing going. So it gets most of the focus.
Don't forget about Amazon either.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you start talking about search engines, and there's actually a lot of websites that you can look at as search engines. Amazon absolutely being one of them.
YouTube is probably the second biggest search engine.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between SEO and SEM, which is another term that we hear a lot?
Search engine optimization, or SEO, is regarded as tactics to be found organically in search. SEM is search engine marketing, and that has to do with paid as well.
So is that like paid content would be a piece of search engine marketing?
Search engine marketing is more of like an overarc that includes SEO, and SEO is kind of an overarc that includes content. Usually, it's basically SEM is basically PPC and AdWords and paid advertising.
Yeah, it's like everything combined. SEO. Anything that you could be doing within search would be search engine marketing.
Yeah.
Search is a great overarching term for all of it.
And what's PPC?
Thank you, Layman. PPC is pay-per-click advertising.
Okay.
Shows up in a number of ways. One of the most frequent ways is when you do a search in Google, the first couple of results are often advertisements, and they're indicated as such.
Do those advertisements work?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes I don't click on those. Sometimes I just click on the first, like,
you know,
I go
it's kind of hard because we live in a bubble where we see them every day and we know exactly what they are.
And we're spiteful.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I have, you know, 3 ad blocks on my computer, but I create ads, so we kind of live in that bubble. So
yeah, no, that's something that I actually get a lot when I'm talking to prospects or clients. Like, I don't know, do those paid ads work? And you can look at the numbers. They work. A lot of people, like you said, Rocky, we kind of live in this bubble. So we know what that is when we see it. But there's a lot of people who don't live in this bubble, and they just look at it as another link that they can click on that has what they want.
And to be clear, the paid ads, whenever you search for something in Google, there's always a list of results. And the items at the top that are usually highlighted in yellow, right? Those are the ones that have been paid by someone to be up at the top of that of those search results.
Yeah, they'll have those little square that says ad, little green square underneath it that says ad.
For many of the internet users, it's very hard for them to distinguish the difference. So you'll get, and we've even had our own calls. I know, John, you've taken the calls, people trying to scam us, selling us SEO with quick results, and what they do is just pay for pay-per-click ads that put you at the top of search.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Actually, you saying that just reminded me that I got a call just yesterday with this official sounding recording from Google that we had not claimed our map listing, and then it wanted you to like log in and talk to somebody, which I did, and of course I had a lot of fun with them. Can you take us into claiming your listings and maps and all things that have to do with like that map pack?
Yeah, we can absolutely dive into that. And for the different areas of search and search engine marketing, search engine optimization are going to fit best with different folks. So if you're a local service area provider, you're a brick and mortar person, you absolutely want to be into local SEO, which includes things like Google My Business, that business listing when you search your name, the map. Often in search, you call it the map 3-pack. Google will often allow 3 people to get kind of a precedence above all the organic search listings. Forgive me, layman, if I'm talking over your head. Slow me down. I speak geek. And of the map 3-pack, there's 2 main ways that you can really affect how you show up there, how you can get in there if you're not there, and how to improve your rankings if you're not there.
So I'm assuming the map stuff, that only pertains to local businesses for the most part. Like if Google's going to give them an address and directions and all that sort of thing. Like if I search for somebody that's in across the nation, would I still get that map result?
If you were searching a geographic location, like you wanted a coffee shop in Seattle, you might start getting some of the map 3-pack results. The idea is that Google presented this as a way to have people optimize for near me type searches. Tree service near me, coffee shop near me. You can't really, or you shouldn't really try to optimize your website to do that. But if you have a local listing, that's how you show up and search for people that are looking for your service.
Okay, so you started to say there were 3 things.
There's 2 main things that you can do to improve that if you're looking to do that. And one of the big slam dunks is reviews. If you're not getting Google reviews, you need to start. You don't need a tsunami of them. That's not going to be helpful. You need a steady stream of them trickling in. And they don't all have to be 5 stars. 4.2, 4.3 is optimal.
Is a tsunami a bad thing? Is that going to hurt you? If we go out and we just try to get 50 reviews today to up our reviews, is that going to help us, hurt us, not make a difference?
Maybe Rocky wants to weigh in. My opinion of it is that if you get some good results, it's probably going to be short-lived.
Well, it depends. For the most part, it's good because when people search for whatever keyword they're looking for that you'd be listed in, having more reviews is always better. That just shows the searcher that you're a trusted source.
So like the long game is having more reviews, but I'm just curious if we just go out today and we get 50 of our friends to go give us Google reviews, is the Google algorithm going to look at that like, we see what you guys are doing? Like, this is obvious black hat.
Well, let's look at it from the perspective of Google bots and Google searchers kind of behave about the same. So if you're very astute and you notice that you have 50 reviews that are all on the same day, you can see that it was a concerted effort, whether you're a bot or an actual person.
Mm-hmm. All right, hold on. 2 things. 1, can we describe what black hat means? And 2, if asking all your buddies to give your reviews a bad idea, what's a good way to solicit reviews?
Black hat SEO techniques usually refers to link building techniques, but it's really shady things. It's manipulative things. And when we talk about things that you can do, we're trying to build trust with human searchers and Google. That's the pivotal piece. But if you're trying to manipulate the system, if you're trying to do things to game the system, that gets into black hat and gray hat techniques.
And is there a penalty for partaking in those sorts of practices?
Oh, yeah. You can have your site blacklisted, your business removed from Google My Business.
And if it's not today, it'll be down the road.
Right. And that's typically what we see happen is someone using black hat tactics gets quick results because they tricked the algorithm. And then the algorithm always finds out. And when that happens, they lose everything that they gained. And that can happen literally overnight. So you can go from all of a sudden you have great rankings and you're selling tons of your product and you get used to a $10,000 a month revenue stream and everything's going great. And then overnight, you lose your business.
Yeah, and there's no one doing it either.
Yeah, so, you're done.
Yeah, once your site's blacklisted, there's really not anything anyone can do for you.
Yeah, so it's always better to go white hat would be the other side of that. Mm-hmm. Rocky, you want to explain white hat?
A white hat's just basically using what Google sets as standard, focusing more on the user itself, because Google wants the users to have a good experience, and they train their algorithm to give around the user experience. So you basically focus around that, and you'll gain rankings.
Yeah, as long as you're creating good content, you have a good quality website, people are coming there, interacting with your content, spending time there, you'll start to move up in the rankings.
So if a company wants to build their review base, would it be a fair practice to reach out to existing customers and ask for that review and just simply let them do that on their own? But you can solicit it, just don't try to game the system.
I would say, but I'll let these two
Absolutely. And the statistics have proved that 7 out of 10 people do it just for the asking. You don't have to incentivize them. You don't have to bribe them. Just say, hey, would you mind leaving me a Google review? If you make it really easy with a link directly to the review, that's even easier to get the review.
Technically, there's some controversy around soliciting reviews. And I don't remember if it was against the rules for something. I have to remember. But there was soliciting reviews would be considered more gray hat. But it's not something I would not do, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a bending of the rule.
Yeah.
And when you get over into like Amazon, it gets really hard to fake reviews because they have to buy the product in order to do the review. So if you want to just solicit your friends to give you your reviews, they got to all go purchase your product.
Amazon's a different beast.
Yeah,
but you have to have velocity on Amazon. So you have to have reviews, and people only buy things with reviews.
That's where it's gets difficult to launch like a new product or a new brand on Amazon. You have no reviews, and until you get reviews, you're not going to be found. Yeah. You can run PPC, but still, the first thing you do when you buy a product on Amazon is check the reviews. Mm-hmm. I do. Is this thing worth it?
I think that's a key to showing up in search, no matter what search engine you're on, is all of these algorithms that are created are designed to foster credibility and trust. Mm-hmm. And if you're working towards that end in the right ways, it's easier to show up.
Yeah. So you guys, how can we create a strategy to bring more traffic organically to our websites?
Better content strategy. Build stuff with the customer in mind. Make sure you know exactly who you have coming to your website, why, and giving them everything they need.
Yeah.
Even using the term content, that's something that I've had to cross that bridge with my customers. They don't always understand what that means. And by that, we are talking about the text, the copy, the photographs, any kind of files that are on
blog
the website.
Articles,
videos,
exactly.
Copy on pages, videos, yeah.
An easy way to get to what they need.
Anything that the visitor is consuming mm-hmm. on the website. So let's walk through the process of creating a search strategy. Figuring out who we're going to drive to the website, how we're going to attract them, all starts with the keyword. So
for our listeners, let's clarify what a keyword is. So that's any sort of term that people will put into a search engine like Google, correct? That's like, say I'm looking for shoes.
Right, but you got shoes. Keywords and then you got long tail keywords. So sure. What's the difference between those two?
Let's, well, hold on. Just back up. We'll do one more keyword related term. So another thing that's important to know about keywords is seed keywords. Seed keywords is essentially what a business owner thinks that people are searching for their product. It may not be what the customer is actually looking for. The nomenclature they use may be different than what their customer uses. So
if I own a tire company, a local tire company, I'm the business owner, I'm going to come to you and the first thing I'm going to say is, I want to rank for tires near me.
Sure.
Nobody uses the term rank except for us, though. So it'd be like us putting an ad out saying, premier ranking through SEO keywords. And no one, if we put something content out with that in there, no one is going to search that except for us.
Right.
But the business owner knows they need to be found in search because the phone book is dead. So I need to show up in search.
What they'll say is, I want to be on page one for tires near me.
No, they'll say, how to sell more tires. I want to sell more tires.
Well, that's what they would be searching. But what they want to show up on page one for has to do with their business and what they think people are probably searching. Although what may be happening is the person that's searching doesn't always start with tires near me. They start with how to fix a leaky tire.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Because it usually starts with, can I fix this myself?
Yeah. How bald is too bald on a tire?
Right. And that's where you want to catch them with the content. But I'll let you.
Yeah. No, that's right on. And that's, we have to get in the mindset of the person, of the client's customer. So we take time through discovery to find out who the client is and who their customer is. And only then, once we have a grasp of who these people are, can we start to do real research into who their competitors are even. Because you may think your competitor is the other tire shop down the street, but you may also be competing with an online-only competitor. Depending on the keywords that we're talking about, you may be competing with Wikipedia. And Wikipedia doesn't have a hard time getting on page one, but maybe you do.
Which is going to make it even harder for you.
Never worked with a library before.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Those guys are struggling.
If you're out there, Encyclopedia Britannica, we're willing to take you on as a client. Give us a call.
We've got an affiliate link after that. No, so the idea is that the keywords you think you may need to show up for may not be it. And the competitors you think you have may not be it. So a lot of research goes into coming up with the right list of keywords. And you also talked about long tail keywords. I like to think of long tail keywords in two senses. If you're math savvy and you're into bell curves, a long tail would be on the back side of that bell curve. It's not the one that everybody's seeking. It's one that gets less use, but might be more valuable to conversion. Because keywords have an intent to them. It might be a buy intent. It may be a find intent. It may be a informational research intent. And if you can match the right keywords with the right intent, Google will reward you by making you relevant to the searcher's query.
Well, if you're looking for a blue polka-dotted short skirt,
do you want to buy one or do you just want images of one?
Well, if you sell them.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know. So the other sense of long-tail keywords is that people often pick short keywords. They want to rank for GarageBand Cincinnati. But maybe there's a longer string of words. And so that's another sense in which you can call something a long tail keyword. The best garage band in central Cincinnati. And
so it's like a sentence.
Yeah, more like a sentence. Because as search goes on, we're getting more and more into natural speech. How many people ask Siri or Google or Alexa to find something for them? So we're integrating both natural voice and we're integrating AI to help with search.
So the first piece of an SEO strategy would be identifying the proper keywords. Once we've identified the proper keywords, what do we do with the keywords?
A lot of it will be based on creating content that's valuable to the customers related to those search terms. Let's go back to the tire examples. How to patch a leaky tire, or what's too bald? Those are questions that reach the customers before they're ready to go buy tires. Mm-hmm. And if you can address the informational concern, you can get them to your website and let them know, hey, we understand your problems. Mm-hmm. And we're here for you if you decide that you do have tires that are too bald. Come on in and see us. But you serve the informational need before the purchase need.
Right.
So depending on the keywords, you may create content for an informational need and a purchase need.
So the information might be an indirect connection to your product, but you're at least getting in front of them and creating a sense of trust so that you can then sell them the product that might
getting
be
them to know and identify with you and creating trust at the same time.
Gives you an opportunity to flex your expertise too. Mm-hmm.
And it's also very big to be able to intercept the prospect at that point in the buyer's journey rather than just being another company advertising to them when they're at the purchase decision level. When they're at the purchase decision level, it's not going to be as hard for you as the company that's trying to sell them because you've already established trust and established that you identify with the issue that they're having. So when they're cruising along online shopping you against your competitors, they're always going to come back to, hopefully, that relationship that's already been established.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can establish a sense of value too is for your company as a brand, which also helps to sway the purchase decision away from just shopping on cost. You know, if you're cost shopping, it just comes down to dollars and cents. But if there's a sense of value, you'll pay more for the same good or relatable good if you feel like the value's there.
It's nice that we can talk generally about things, but sometimes we have to tailor things. If you're an emergency service, like say you're a tow truck, you own a company, a fleet of tow trucks, or you own a single one, how you interact with the buyer when in their life they're searching for you may be very different than a product they're going to sit and take the time to research. Mm-hmm. So it'll employ very different techniques, potentially.
So we've laid out the keywords, we've created some great content around the keywords, and we've covered that base in our strategy. What is the next piece of SEO that we need to have in place?
After keywords and content strategy, basically you just get to work developing content around it, and then you can switch over to making sure your site's completely optimized for Google, technically.
So what does that entail? What are we talking about?
But I think one of the big things is to talk about once we've put together a content strategy, then what do we do with it?
Okay, because we don't want to dump all that. It's again, avoid the tsunami effect. You're going to want to roll that out over time rather than all at once. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to continue to provide value and expertise. And part of it is outreach too. You know, we're talking a lot of SEO stuff, but a lot of search integrates. So if we write a great piece of content that's informational, that serves a real need, we're going to want to share that. We'll share it on social media. We'll do link outreach to see that maybe another website finds that content valuable as well. Maybe they'd like to link to it.
Yeah, can you explain link outreach and how that works?
It depends on the content, obviously, but you basically reach out to different websites, different places, publishing boards, anywhere that's relevant to that content. that can provide value. If you've made content that's better than the competition for any given subject, say, you know, you want to repair a tire, then you can find the links that they share to and reach out to them and say, hey, we've updated this article if you want to replace it. There's a lot of different ways to go about it, and it all depends on the content.
There's even some deep in the weeds strategies where you go look for broken links. So you find an article on Forbes that's not that old, but the company they link to is now out of business. But they just happen to do what you do. So it's like, hey, instead of having a broken link, why don't you serve us up?
And how does having the link on someone else's website affect your business?
It's a ranking signal for Google, but it's also a signal of trust.
Yeah, big backlinks from well-established giant websites give your site a boost. It will tell Google that your site is more trusted than the competition, and your rankings will go up.
So if I'm selling a product, a smoothie product, and it's and Oprah shares on her website, I'm assuming I would see a windfall of traffic?
You would get the traffic, and there's value to having that link as well. Mm-hmm. There's a two-pronged benefit there.
Mm-hmm.
We're always interested, when it comes to search, whether it's paid or organic, of conversion. It's not about how many times did somebody see your page or see your ad, these impressions. It's not about even how many times did somebody click it? Did we get the right people to see it? Did we get the right people to click it so that they could come through and become a customer? If not immediately, then later on.
And I think that is a really important point that you're hitting on right there. There's a lot of SEO companies that will focus on making sure that you rank for the maximum amount of keywords possible. It's beneficial to the SEO company because they're going to be able to go, look, you rank for 200 keywords, and because of that, you're getting 5,000 clicks a month to your website. But do those clicks convert into sales for the website? Is it really that important that you're getting 5,000 clicks to your website if you're only getting 2 sales a month? What you want to do is make sure that you're getting the right traffic to the website so that you're identifying the right keywords to get that traffic, and then the website's laid out so that it will convert that traffic.
And that's where I come in. That's my favorite part, is the conversion. And we'll talk about that in the next pillar, but it's obviously very important. Once we have them on the site, how do we form that connection? How do we illustrate that we are the right place to come to solve that problem? And then how do we sell them on that idea?
Right. But just having a giant influx of traffic to the website alone through Google is not the solution to sales.
Not unless you're a news organization. It's kind of hard talking with clients sometimes when they say, oh, I used to have 5,000 people on my website. Now I'm only getting 200. But like, if those 200 are each just sitting there with their wallet in their hand,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I just analyzed a client's website. Not a client, but a prospect. Somebody that we're just starting to talk to. And they only ranked for, I think, 20 keywords. Mike, you were with me.
Mm-hmm.
They only ranked for 20 keywords. And we pulled up their competition. They ranked for, I think, 208 keywords. And the prospect immediately was like, oh my God, they're doing way better than us in SEO. And I was like, hold on a second. Just because they rank for 208 keywords does not necessarily mean they're doing better than you in SEO. It just means that they rank for a bunch of keywords, that they may have a whole lot of irrelevant keywords in there.
Yeah, it might be quantity over quality.
Yeah, and your 20 keywords could be the same thing. They could be 20 keywords that really don't matter, and then you might have an issue. But if you have 20 keywords, but your conversion rates are a lot higher because we're driving relevant traffic in, and work.
And for people listening, I just want to clarify, when we use the term conversion, we're talking about website traffic. So people that come to your website, we refer to that as traffic. And then how are we able to convert that traffic into either a sale or a lead, or can we get them to do what the goal of the website?
Right. Take action. Taking action would be a conversion. So whatever we want them to do on that website, could be a phone call, could be a contact form, could be making
download
a purchase.
Download a guide.
Could be downloading a guide. Yeah, whatever we've set that site up to be that conversion.
Let me take a little side trip just to show a really egregious example of this. So rather than the organic search side, if we get into the paid side, what we found with a lot of competitors who do pay-per-click advertising is they will pick an ad group in Google, and it may be a really relevant ad group, and it may have a lot of potential impressions. Again, we're getting back to impressions and clicks. People get so excited about those. But you're a landscaper in northern Michigan, as an example, and you're paying for keywords for installing fences in New Jersey or pools in Arizona.
Because they're in the group.
You're wasting money, hard-earned money, to get people who absolutely will not convert.
But I also like to add to that when somebody in New Jersey and your company's in Michigan clicks on your ad, what do they do immediately when they realize you're not in New Jersey?
Turn around and leave.
Right? Which makes your bounce rates go up. Now, bounce rate is the rate of which people are leaving your website, and it plays into Google's algorithms. That's something that Google measures when it's trying to determine if you have a quality website. If your bounce rates are low, you start to move up in those ranking positions. If your bounce rates are high, you start to drop down. So if you're bidding on keywords for pay-per-click, you're not only losing money there, bringing in the wrong traffic, but the wrong traffic is making your bounce rates go up. And I guess that really could play into not just PPC, but also organic search, going back to you have 208 keywords. If that's the wrong traffic and they're immediately recognizing that they're not where they wanted to be and leaving your site, bounce rates go up, SEO rankings go down.
And you may be wasting tons of money. Maybe that click cost you $10 instead of a dollar or $100. There are industries that have huge cost per click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying you could be spending money to lose business?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think about injury lawyers, they pay upwards of a couple hundred dollars per click.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing. Different verticals spend different amounts. Those keywords, depending on how relevant they are and how many searches they're getting, depicts how much you're going to pay for every click.
So I'm assuming when you referenced ad groups, is that basically purchasing the ability to use keywords in a like a bulk setting where you get a certain...
That's a very good description of it. And it's kind of the lazy way to do keyword research.
Ad groups, as far as AdWords go, you basically lump in a bunch of keywords into an ad group, and the ad groups are part of a campaign. So it's kind of a hierarchy.
I have one more point of value for the pay-per-click side of things. I would really encourage everyone who's doing PPC, either on their own or with another company, to go in and look for the keywords that they're bidding. See if they're in unrelated areas. See if they're bidding for words that are irrelevant to what they do.
Where is a great place that we can check that stuff?
If you're in control of your advertising, you can go into Google AdWords yourself and see exactly what you're spending and exactly which keywords you are. There is publicly available information that you can access. One of the tools we use is SpyFu to do that. We can go in and look at our AdWords that we're bidding and showing up in search for. We can look at competitors, what they're bidding on. And it's a really great tool to be able to do that.
So that's SpyFu.com. And that's what you're hitting on with the competitors is another reason that I really love SpyFu, because you can put your competitor's website in there, and there it's free. There's a free version. It's only going to give you, I think, 5 to 10 of their keywords for free. But it will break down how many keywords they rank for in Google's top 50. It will show how many clicks they're getting a month. It'll show what keywords they're bidding on through AdWords for PPC.
What their ad copy is.
What their ad copy is. There's just all kinds of great stuff in there. So if you feel like you are possibly being outranked by a competitor and that they have more traffic share than you, go to spyfu.com, put that address in there, and it'll break everything down. And that will be a great guide for you on how you want to lay out your strategy.
Let's talk about, so what do you do with that information? If you find that, let's say, a competitor is ranking for, I don't know, 30 keywords that are really key to your business as well, what do you do with that information?
Well, you can take that and make it part of your strategy, going after those keywords as well.
You can find their most valuable keyword, because SpyFu will let you sort like that. Find their most valuable keywords and write content that's relevant to those keywords.
Now, there are sites, if you have a budget, there's a software that we use called SimilarWeb. And what SimilarWeb will do is actually show you analytics from that website so that you can determine if that keyword, because when you're saying that it's their most valuable keyword, well, that means it's getting the most clicks. Is that keyword driving the most sales? Without seeing their analytics, you don't know that.
That's a great distinction. SpyFu only works on publicly available information, which allows you to compare apples to oranges, but it's not their analytics.
If you can get SimilarWeb, you can see their analytics and you can see where all their traffic's coming from and exactly what's happening on their website and determine if those keywords actually are valuable to them.
And to clarify, analytics is the tracking of the traffic that comes into the website, and then when those people are on the website, what pages do they visit?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. I have a question. Does my social media activity play into what's happening with my search engine optimization?
Indirectly, yes. It doesn't directly, it's not a ranking factor for them, but social media traffic that goes to your site, depending on, you know, who you're sending there, improves the site's traffic overall, which, say, a lot of your social traffic gets a higher time on page, your information kind of goes up. But in analytics, okay, which gets transferred to Google and So it kind of improves it through the rabbit hole.
So if I publish a blog on my website and then I share it on social media, Facebook say, and then I get a bunch of clicks on that from Facebook, that sends a signal out into the Google algorithm.
Yeah, and if you share it on, if you make a really awesome post and it gets shared a ton on social media, you're going to get an influx of traffic, which is going to show.
Are those considered backlinks?
Not really. Most social traffic is considered not in follow or social.
Okay.
And they're not considered backlinks, but they are considered, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What other questions you got, Mike?
I have some do-it-yourself advice.
Yeah.
For the people who
that's the good stuff.
For the people who really want to go out and do search engine optimization themselves, Google, even for us nerds, we can speculate, and it's kind of like seeing the wind. We can see the effects of the wind, but we can't see the wind. So Google's algorithm is a mystery. They don't disclose what their algorithm is, and we can make inferences based on what is happening, and we can infer when changes are happening. But Google does publish a search engine evaluator guidelines. And what that is in a nutshell is it's quality guidelines for human testers to go back and spot check how good the algorithm did. Last I checked, it was about 164 pages long. It's not light reading. But if you really want to please Google, these are the things you need to do. Within the depths of those pages, there's some things that are really relevant to the people who are in certain industries. Last year, there was a search engine algorithm update. And it's been coined Medic Core. Google doesn't necessarily name. Yeah. They do name some of their updates, but not all of them. And so this Medic Core update affected people that were in specific verticals that affected your money or your life. YMYL. So that's one acronym to be look on the lookout for. And these your money or your life sites, Google says the purchasing, the information available at these destinations.
So these are websites for like financial advisors, supplement companies, stuff like that.
Medical right? information, absolutely. Okay, gotcha. Things that affect your health and wealth directly.
Okay.
So for these people, there's a special emphasis on expertise, authority, and trust. And so when you're creating content related to those things in these verticals, you need to exude expertise, authority, and trust. You need to have experts writing your content, as an example. If you're having a medical-related website, you pretty much can't do better than having a credible doctor write the content for you and have a bio on the written content as well.
Where can we find this? Is it an article?
Google puts out the Search Quality Evaluator Guidelines. You can search for that. We had a blog last year about in 2018, it was in September, called The Webquake in Dietary Supplements and Nutraceuticals. And I covered that change pretty in-depth. And there's some guidelines because Google makes these changes and there's no fix.
Yeah.
People are saying, hey, well, how do we fix this? We lost a bunch of traffic. Google said there is no fix. And I say, phooey. If you're improving in the ways you need to improve, you can fix. It may not be overnight, but, you know, exude more trust, authority, and expertise.
So if we do all this, if we put together, we do our keyword research, we put together our strategy, we're rolling out new content that's keyword rich, that is responding to what people are searching for online. How long does it take to see the traffic increase on my website?
There's actually an off switch. For instance, if you're on a WordPress platform, there's a little checkbox when you're in development where you're saying, hide my website from Google. And if you don't uncheck that once you launch your website, Google can't find
What's
you.
What's that called?
Web discouraged. Crawling. Or web crawling. Yeah, I think it's in reading.
Yeah, you got to make sure that box is...
So there are some technical things that are an off switch. If your website reloads extremely slow or you have that checkmark box checked, there's things that can hamper your ability to be seen. There's other things you can do to make it easier to see your website. Submit a sitemap to Google. That's a list of all the pages you have. Say, hey, Google, I'm raising my hand. Here's my pages. Come crawl them. But beyond the things that you can do to put your content out there, and there's a lot of ways you can do that, it's not an overnight slam dunk. People aren't just going to start showing up at your content and reading it. And
look, Google goes out and crawls your website. We know about every 30 days. They won't let us figure out exactly when that happens, but it's about every 30 days. Whenever Google crawls the website, you want to have fresh new content on there. You want to have things happening. You want to be improving backlinks, bounce rates. So every month, your site should be a little better than it was last month. And that's really what SEO boils down to. It's creating a great website. awesome load times, great content that holds people's attention, whether that be blog articles, videos, podcast episodes. You know, if you come to this podcast episode through our website and you listen to the whole thing, you're going to be on our website for about 30 minutes. That makes our bounce rate decrease, right? So we're going to go up in the search engines. So that's what it boils down to. Great SEO is just having a great website that isn't trying to just trick us to come there to find out that, you know, I mean, there's nothing worse than buying a bad book off of Amazon and you're waiting for it and you get it. And then you're like, oh my God, this has a great title. Great cover, but the depth is zero, and I got no information out of this that I was hoping to get, and you throw it in the garbage.
Maybe just 30 pages in. That would be the equivalent of a bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. Is there a general rule of thumb of what the frequency should be that people are updating the content, either through blog articles or new pages on their website?
I think that would depend on if you're local or national. Mm-hmm. If you're national, you guys can elaborate on this, but if you're national, you should be publishing a lot of content. I would say around 4 new pieces of content a month.
That would be a good starting point. Mm-hmm. If you're a local-based business, sometimes, depending on your vertical, maybe even just once a month would get you some traction and some movement.
But there is one thing we didn't cover, and local thing, sorry, brings this to me. Listings.
Yes, listings. I did want to circle back to. That's the other thing that you can control that will affect you getting into the Map 3 pack or ranking higher in maps. And that is making sure that your listings are consistent across the internet. So your name, address, phone number, things like that, the terminology is citations. These citations need to be the same if you're on Yelp, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Google, if you're on whatever directory it is. There are dozens of directories out there that you can be in, and you should be in lots of the relevant ones, but everything should be the same. It's the same as seeing a broken down sign. Mm-hmm. If you're missing letters on your physical signage, it's tough for people to understand, is this really the business I want?
Okay, if you are curious about where you're at with your SEO, how your website is doing online as far as search rankings, you can go to our website, leadplanmarketing.com. On the homepage, just below the fold, there is a link to run a report. You get that report for free. So you click that link, you're going to put in your website's URL address and your email so that we can email you the report. And you're going to get a report that breaks down every piece of where you're at on your website and where you can improve. I would recommend that. I would recommend running your website and your competitor's website through SpyFu. SpyFu.com, and just checking that out, taking a look at those keywords, kind of get an idea of where you are against your competition. Actually, there is a tab in there. It's an SEO analysis, I think it's called, where you can put in your different competitors and it'll show you on a graph against them. It'll show how many keywords you can measure yourself for, how many keywords you can measure yourself for, how many clicks or click value. There's a few other ones in there. Hey everybody, each month we bring you guys exciting news, tricks, and tips on how you can market your business better, and we bring you that information for free. All we ask in return is that you give us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on, whether it's iTunes or our website. Just drop us a comment. We want to hear from you guys, so let us know if there's a specific topic that you'd like us to cover, or just leave a comment and say hi and let us know that you're listening. In the meantime, keep it factual, keep it creative, but always keep your marketing fundamental, and you can't go wrong. Until next time.